6 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman, friendly, very friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty here tonight and all week long, being the broadcast media here in Mike Malloy's stead as he's enjoying his summer staycation. By the way, some great pictures over at MikeMalloy.com of little Molly, who is really growing up, frankly. We were out with the Malloys a couple of years ago out there in Atlanta when it was Mike's birthday. I can't remember what birthday it was, frankly. But and Molly was just a wee little thing, but now she's growing up, and she was parading in all her patriotic garb at a July 4th parade out there. If you want to check out those photos, she's darling, and they will be back next Monday. You got me until then. Get over it. David Roberts from Grist.org has been kind enough to join us for just a few more minutes here to answer some of your questions as they're coming in on 877-520-1150. In this case, concerning clean energy legislation and cap and trade, looking for some skeptics out there. Apparently, you know, they have no trouble finding my email box, but apparently they have trouble dialing the phone. We do have a couple of folks, and one of them that came in via my Twitter account here. And if you're not following me, shame on you. I can be followed at the Brad Blog. This comes from Art Levine, who is actually a great reporter out there in D.C. He points out that Goldman Sachs is profiting from cap and trade, and therefore, I guess the implication being it's a bad thing. Let's get what's your thoughts on that, David Roberts?
Well, I mean, you know, Goldman Sachs profits from a lot of commodity trading markets. You know, we trade oil, we trade wheat, mm-hmm. trade steel. Goldman Sachs profits from all those, or do we just want to eliminate commodity markets? I mean, honestly, that particular objection to cap and trade, this notion that it's a sop to bankers, mm-hmm. has always struck me as a little bit more slogan than any sort of considered objection. I mean, you create a market, yes, there's going to be market middlemen doing the deal, making mm-hmm. you know, contracts and all these other financial tools that we use routinely in other markets, and yeah, those people will get a cut of the action like they do with any commodity market.
You're far too sensible. I tend to agree with you. And by the way, folks, you do want to call. We will take your calls on any damn thing you want to talk about after this segment, so get in now if you want. 877-520-1150 as the lines are filling up. 877-520-1150. All right, let's see if Anand's objection to cap and trade makes any more sense. Anand calling from my old hometown of St. Louis. Hey, Anand, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad, my favorite troublemaker.
Thank you.
Hey, first of all, I just have a statement in the form of a question about something that your guest said earlier, which what my statement is, when has a remedy that implemented the free market ideology ever resulted in a net benefit for the average American? I don't expect an answer. I just been saying that.
Well, let's try to get you one, Nan. You got an answer for that, David?
Sure. The 1990 Clean Air Act amendments that set up a market-based trading program for SO2 produced much larger reductions in SO2 for much less money than anyone expected, and it was because of the market flexibility built into the program.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Let me ask you about this.
Yeah.
Are you talking about cap and trade that is strictly 100% domestic, or are you talking about a global cap and trade system?
Well,
because I have no problem with it if it's domestic. If it's a global cap and trade, I am diametrically opposed to that.
Well,
for one reason.
Go ahead. What's your reason?
The clean development mechanism of the World Bank, which is wreaking havoc all over the developing world through cap and trade, which is it was supposed to reduce global poverty and increase environmental keep environmental degradation down, and it is having exactly the opposite effect. And what's happening is multinational corporations are exploiting the not only the indigenous people of these nations, and it's lethal to them. It is devastating to the environment.
Okay, Nan, well, let me get a response here, and I'll just toss this in that, you know, in this case, when we're talking about cap and trade legislation, we're talking only for the moment about what can be done in our Congress. I don't think the discussion is about what to do across the world, although the world is looking at us and waiting for us, you know, the greatest use of carbon in the world.
But it's already in existence. It's been in existence since Kyoto.
All right, let me get David's thoughts. David?
Nan has perfectly legitimate concerns about the clean development mechanism, which is we should keep these things distinct, not the same thing as a cap and trade program. Now, it does matter because the domestic cap and trade program that would be established by this bill would allow for some what are called international offsets, mm-hmm. which is carbon reductions in other countries that you can then buy and sell as allowances here. And some of those might come from the clean development mechanism. So it is a legitimate concern. There's a lot of reform going on at the CDM right now. There's lots of widely acknowledged problems with it, and there's lots of reform being done. But I think Nan's skepticism about the clean development mechanism is perfectly appropriate, and the more people who have a skeptical eye on it, the better the reform will go.
How does that work for you, Nan?
Great, because I think the mainstream media is ignoring it just as the World Bank is. And it's really, it's turning out to be a devastating program through the World Bank. And let me direct you to Censored 2010, Article Number 15, which is all about the global cap and trade fiasco.
And that has...
I'm for a carbon tax, absolutely a carbon tax. But a global cap and trade... pretty much does nothing to incentivize reducing emissions or going towards clean energy.
All right. I appreciate that, Nan. And that Censored 2010, you're referring to the book or to their Project Censored Awards for 2010?
It's the book.
Censored
2010, Article Number 15.
All right. And while folks are going there and going and getting that important book, make sure when you do get it, you read the chapter that I wrote for it. Thanks, Nan. I appreciate your call.
Yeah. I think it's online. All these articles are online.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that, Nan. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
We'll see you in St. Louis, hopefully sometime soon. All right, bye. Okay, let me get one more call here in for David Roberts. Maybe two. Wait a minute. Let me see. We use the phones. There we go. Richard from Oakland, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, I listen to you guys all the time, and you help our sanity in the country because too many people listen to those other crazy people.
Uh-oh. Stop moving, Richard. Your phone is falling apart on us.
What? I'm not moving.
Okay, go ahead. Try it again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it sounds better. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's say the cap is 10 and somebody else is, you know, really more concerned about the environment for whatever reason, and they reduce their stuff to 6.
Right.
Somebody else who's done 16 can then buy that other stuff from those other people, and we end up with both having 10 instead of one having 10 and one having 6, which means we're not going to get as much reduction as we need because the latest report today that came out that I heard says that, you know, we're going to go up 7 degrees Fahrenheit in the next 100 years, which will destroy the world. This is the latest study that just came out that I heard on the news today. We have to really take this seriously. We can't have these little games where companies can, you know, buy the ability to pollute more.
So you're suggesting the cap and trade will lead to more pollution, not less, Richard?
No, don't play with me with that kind of stuff. That's what you did with the other guy. You're not dealing with the reality.
No, I'm asking. I'm trying to understand your question, Richard.
I think I understand Richard's objection.
Okay.
I know. I've listened to you for an hour now. Cap and trade is the equivalent. If you want to make a parallel, cap and trade is like true environmental stuff, as is the current health bill we got compared to a single-payer health plan.
Okay, okay, let me get David. Let me get David's answer
not,
to your question.
It's not going to solve the problem.
Richard, let me get Richard. Settle down. Let me get a response from David. David, go ahead.
Well, I think it's actually a decent analogy to the health bill in that it would not do what we need ultimately, but would be a hell of a lot better than the status quo. But let me respond to Richard's objection, because it's actually a pretty sophisticated and interesting objection that a lot of people inside the environmental movement are debating this. So if you cap things and reduce the cap down, you know, whatever, 50% reductions, you're going to get 50% reductions. So It's just not true that cap and trade is not going to reduce pollution. It's going to reduce pollution however much the cap says. But say that you're a particularly ambitious state or city or company or whatever, and you want to go beyond those reductions. You want to be more ambitious than the national system. It really is true that, say, California companies reduce their emissions more than is required by the system, they free up allowances so that someone else can emit more. So the thing is, you get the reductions you set with the cap, but what you can't do under the system is exceed the cap. You can't do better than the cap. So it is, in a sense, a limit on our ambition. So you can meet the cap, but you can't exceed it. So I think there are ways to tweak the system if you're, you know, if you happen to be God and in control of the system and not the horrendous U.S. Congress. There are ways to tweak the system to handle that problem. But it really is true. It's ambitious, but it's also, in a sense, a limit on our ambition. We can't go beyond the cap.
Richard, does that answer your thought?
And then that's the problem. Unfortunately, some people are going to get to be able to pollute more than others because, you know, they have the money to buy the pollution credits. And that's not the way we have to look at this, because we're all in this together. We're all, you know, as they say, you know, you hang separately, you hang together. When the world goes out, I don't care if you're Bill Gates with $85 billion, you're dead.
Okay, I got to get out, Richard.
I have kids, you have kids, Pope, and I want them to have a safe world.
I appreciate your thought, Richard. I got to run here. Thank you, sir, for the call. All right. It seems to me, David Roberts, we got to start somewhere.
Well, the idea, no environmentalist thinks that the cap and trade bills that are on the table now are sufficient to solve the problem. Richard's absolutely right about that. But the question is, 10 years from now, when we've been hit by more floods and more heat waves and there's more people involved in the clean energy industry and you have a better political situation, what's easier, passing a brand new system or strengthening a system that you already have in place? So the idea here is get the system in place, and then every subsequent battle becomes a little bit easier because you've already got something to build off of.
David Roberts from grist.org, thanks for that extra time here tonight. Greatly appreciated, and I hope you'll join us again in the future as this moves forward. Thank you, brother.
All right, thanks a lot, Brad.
All right, your calls, much more right after this on The Molloy Show.
Who do you love? Who do you love?
Welcome back to the Molloy Program. 877-520-1150, your calls straight ahead for the rest of the hour. Tomorrow night, Howie Klein will be joining us from Down with Tyranny to talk about Dem Blue Dogs and the elections that we got coming up and all that political stuff that I don't even have time to look at. So I'm glad Howie's doing it for us. He's going to be in live in studio here in Los Angeles, broadcasting along with me. We'll call it Hanging with Howie. Also, some breaking news tomorrow night concerning a long-waged battle over election fraud in a particular county and a particular state, and some startling new news. Quite troubling. Anyway, we'll be covering that tomorrow on the Molloy Show. And then on Friday, Some guy who thinks I'm full of it concerning electronic voting machines, he canceled his Mike Malloy Show podcast subscription because he's so mad that I sit in and talk about these things. He's in favor of electronic voting, apparently, and so I decided I thought I would invite him on. We're going to find out why he thinks I'm full of it and what's so good about e-voting. He's in favor of it, and if you feel differently, I might suggest you sign up for the podcast subscription over at MikeMalloy.com. Let him know for every one he loses when he has me in that we can fill him up with 10 more. It does go to support this program, and it's greatly needed. And at the same time, by the way, when I'm hosting, I go ahead and post the archives for free at bradblog.com. As we will tonight, if you missed any portion of tonight's program, you'll be able to get it late night tonight after I have me some dinner. All right, do I have time for this? I don't know if I do or not. So I'm going to get to a bunch of your calls after the break. 877-520-1150. I know a lot of you are hanging on the line. Hawaiian governor vetoed same-sex civil unions bill today out there in Hawaii. I'm not going to have time to cover this as I wanted to, but I will say that, you know, it's not all bad. For one, it was a same-sex civil unions bill, and I see no reason why gay folks should have to settle for second best civil unions. Get married if you want to get married. And if you're a conservative like I am, you don't think the government should get in the way of what people want to do in their private business. And you believe in the Constitution, which demands equal rights for all Americans. That means if you'd like to marry a same-sex partner, it's fine by me. The governor vetoed it in Hawaii, Republican governor. She gave some lame reasons. But you know what? All the civil rights fights take years. This one will too. But the good guys are winning. Brad, for Malloy, more after this. Get it, T-Man. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Yeah, there we go. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com in for Malloy. Got a whole bunch of phones here, a whole bunch of phone lines all filled up. I'm going to try to get to as many as I can. Just want to do a quick update here. Alan McDuffie is reporting over at rawstory.com, a story that we covered a couple of nights ago. This activist who was facing potentially 3 years in jail for having unfurled a banner which said "Green Jobs Now" inside the U.S. Senate. Was facing 3 years from the Obama administration, who was unbelievably asking for them to triple the normal punishment here. The judge, this was the environmentalist, was Ted Glick. The judge has refused to jail him. Judge Frederick H. Weisberg has instead given him a sentence of 40 hours of community service and $1,100 in fines. And he said that the big turnout at the courtroom yesterday in D.C. Made a difference, as did all the letters that Judge Weisberg received. So good going, peeps. Thanks for speaking out and raising hell and holding everyone's feet to the fire, including the Obama administration. Okay, let's get to your calls. Lou in Spokane. Is it Spokane? 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 Washington, welcome to the Mike Malloy. Spokane?
Well, it's both. 100 years ago it was Spokane, now it's Spokane.
Okay, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show from Spokane, Washington. Lou, what's up?
Hey, Brad.
Hey.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
What is the number one greenhouse gas?
Well, let me refer to Desi on this and see if she has an answer. Oh, Des, can you? We got a caller wants to know the number one greenhouse gas. Do you have? Can you pot her up?
What? I'm sorry. What?
The caller wants to know what is the number one greenhouse gas. Desi Doyen, ladies and gentlemen, my co-host on the Green News Report. Yes, dear.
Number one. There's actually quite a few. So.
Number one in best, Lou. Most. What are you looking for?
Well, let's start out with volume.
Volume.
Oh, yes. You mean as far as CO2 being a trace gas?
Yeah, my question is this. What is the number one greenhouse gas in terms of volume?
What are you getting? Well, I don't know. Do you know the right answer?
I don't
right
know the number.
All right, what's your answer,
by
Lou?
Volume. I know that CO2 is a trace gas along with all the other gases.
Ow. Your phone stinks, Lou. Okay, tell us what your point is here.
Well, here's two of you. You're talking on the radio about greenhouse gases, and you don't know what's the most important greenhouse gas is.
Well, what's the most important? Or what's
it is water vapor.
What you're saying. No, the problem with water vapor is that, yes, it is more dominant as far as its actual, particulate in the atmosphere.
Volume,
but water vapor, and as far as volume, goes away after 5 or 7 years, but CO2 stays in the atmosphere for thousands of years.
No, water vapor never goes away. What it does is evaporates from the ocean, it comes down as rain, and this cycle has been going on.
Yes, it cycles through. That's what they were trying to say when they say it doesn't hang out like CO2 does. CO2 doesn't cycle through.
Okay, what's the proportion of water vapor to CO2?
Let's see. Let me look this up.
What are you getting at here, Lou? Because we've got a lot of callers.
I'm getting at
getting
at the science of water vapor, okay?
Yeah, what about it?
Okay, water vapor comprises 95% of the greenhouse gases. This is from U.S. government report. CO2, most of which is not human created. Humans only been creating in the last 100 years. There was about, 1,200% more.
I got a lot of callers, Lou. Are you a climate change denier? Is that basically what's going on?
No, it's not denier.
What
is
it?
If you two will go back and get the report from the U.S. government on greenhouse gases, you will learn an awful lot. And what you will learn is this is a multi-trillion-dollar fraud.
Okay.
I see. Well, you know, you could also go look up the recent report from the U.S. Global Climate Change Research Program that is also from the U.S. government.
From Global Climate Change.
Why?
You want to look
Why?
Up an actual report.
What's wrong
well,
with
that
the,
is
wait,
an actual report.
Lou, what's wrong with the IPCC report?
It's totally political.
No,
nope.
It's not.
Nope. You're wrong. See
the
it.
IPCC has been proven to be a fraud.
Wrong.
No, it hasn't. It was just actually exonerated by several academic panels. But, you know, just whatever you do, don't listen to all of the scientific organizations in the world who, without exception, except for the American Association of Petroleum Geologists, have signed on to the concept that humans are forcing the climate, human activities are forcing climate change. Every single major organization of scientific nature in the world has signed on to this. So if you find somebody who's an actual legitimate major scientific research organization that does not sign on to it, that would be news. Otherwise, if you think you know more than the scientists do, gosh, you really should present your papers to them.
Well, are you saying that Fox and Friends does not count as an actual science organization?
I'm saying that the brain trust of Fox and Friends does not actually have any scientific training, and they're not qualified to evaluate the research.
Thank you, Des. Smartly done. And let it be known that Lou hung up on himself.
Yes, he did.
I was
and also,
happy to
you
let
know,
him,
and let me just say real quick, for anybody who is interested in finding out what the science actually says and also debunking the many, many, many zombie denier and skeptical arguments that are out there, go to skepticalscience.com. It's run by an actual scientist with actual explanations that can, they're very accessible, that gives you the links to all these studies that Ralph says he cares about, that will actually describe what is going on, what the science says, what it doesn't say, the actual state of the science today. Skepticalscience.com.
Science. You're overlooking the fact that Steve Doocy was a weatherman.
Oh, that's a whole other thing right there.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Des. Smartly done. Let's get to some more calls here, some more people who don't like us. AC in St. Petersburg. I presume that's St. Petersburg, Florida versus Russia. AC?
Correct.
All right. What's up, sir? Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
I'm terribly upset because now it's going all over the Internet.
Yeah.
That Lockbox Al Gore wants to have a new special tax. Global warming tax
brother.
Listen.
What?
May I please?
Yes, go ahead. I'm going to have to get Desi back in here for you. Go ahead.
Okay, he wants to have a new global warming tax, brand new.
He does?
For massage therapists because they contribute too much to global warming.
All right. Thank you, AC. You could have used your time on the air better than that. See ya. All right. That's too bad. He would have been, it looked like he had something good to say, but he was just making stuff up. Let's see who we can get, who doesn't suck here. For Ray. There we go. Ray in Davenport, Iowa. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up?
Oh, Brad.
Hey.
I was kind of wondering, I kind of have an idea here that electronic voting machines might be viable, but what I see right now is the problem that the results are determined or qualified by a person. What if you were to use a second computer to check the votes from the first computer?
Well, see,
this is my idea. You vote on the regular system is you go in and you vote.
Mm-hmm.
I contend that you should print out a ticket that the person who voted on looks at mm-hmm. and verifies that his votes are correct.
Mm-hmm.
Then he puts that into a second system or a box that is ran through a second system, and you compare them.
Okay, so your solution, and I'm only cutting you off because I want to get to all the callers here, Ray.
Sure.
So your solution to the bad e-voting computers that we have now is to double them.
No, that's what it sounds like on the surface, but in reality a normal vote takes minutes.
Yeah.
To do a check takes seconds.
Well, the other thing I'll respond to you, Ray, here, and I really don't mean to give you short shrift. I just do want to get
that's
to as
fine.
Many folks as I can. The other problem here is when you talk about printing out the vote and then printing out the ballot and then running it through another machine, most people, as a Caltech MIT study showed, don't check their so-called computer-printed paper trails. 80% of them don't check it. And another study from Rice University found that of those who do check the summary at the end of the voting process, two-thirds of them don't notice when their votes have been flipped by the computer. So if we want to finish an election and know that it has been counted as per the voter's intent and know that we're looking at the voter's intent, then nothing beats a hand-marked paper ballot, Ray.
Could be, but I have one question then. If nobody knows if their vote was correct when they handed it in or didn't, then how do they know if it was wrong all along?
Well, look, if they make the mistake, that's their problem. If they fill in the wrong bubble, that's their problem. I don't mind that. I don't want the computer flipping it on them, though, and they don't know. Okay?
Oh, it sounds like people need to change.
The people are fine, and that's why it's not an issue of voting integrity. It's an issue of election integrity. We, the people, need to be able to oversee what we do. I got to run, Ray. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Rich, truth is all. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I didn't give you nearly enough time last night. I'm going to not give you nearly enough time tonight either, but at least I'll give you a little bit more. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Thank you. Proving Election Fraud by Richard Shannon. I'd just like to give a few quick bullet points, very important things people should be aware of.
Go.
The corporate and mainstream media never considers that the exit polls are correct, and they always assume that the recorded vote is correct.
Right. They believe the reported vote from the machines, that's the golden poll as far as they're concerned. The exit polls are going to be wrong. Yes, point number two.
Let me just go through some quick bullets. 80 million uncounted votes since 1968.
What do you mean uncounted, Rich?
80 million votes were never counted since 1968.
Well, what do you mean not counted?
In presidential elections.
What do you mean by not counted?
They were never counted. They were either absentee, spoiled ballots.
Well,
they never counted.
They count absentee ballots.
Well, no, but if you check the census, 1988, there were 10.6 million net uncounted votes. In other words, if you look at votes cast, subtract votes recorded, votes cast from the census, minus votes recorded, you get the net uncounted votes. And although that number has been decreasing, now the fraud takes place on voting machines.
Right.
Let me just continue with a couple of quick points.
I got to get to a break, so let me do this, Rich. Can you give folks information where they can go to get your book, Proving Election Fraud? I think Proving Election Fraud, right?
Yeah, Proving Election Fraud on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, online.
Okay.
They can buy it.
And they can get more information at Richard Charnin.
RichardCharnin.com.
CHRNIN.com. Richard, folks know you as Truth Is All from Democratic Underground and comments and so forth at Bradblog. I don't always agree with what you have to report, but God love you. God bless you for keeping an eye on what's been going on in this country and trying to document it as fastidiously as you have.
The mainstream media does not produce the correct numbers on either the pre-election or the final exit polls. That is a perpetuation of fraud from one election to the next. One quick point. Obama won by 22 million votes, but he was only recorded to have won by 9.5 million. John Kerry won by 10 million votes, but he was recorded to have lost by 3 million. A 13 million discrepancy due to election fraud.
Find out more about it, RichardCharnin.com, proving election fraud. Thanks for all you do, Rich. Appreciate it. Truth Is All.
Okay, thank you.
All right, back with the rest of your calls right after this. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy for one more segment, Howie Klein tomorrow night, and some breaking news.
Oh, baby, when you're dancing near me, with your cheek close to mine, and you begin to feel a funny thrill.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
All right, welcome back to our last segment tonight on the Mike Malloy Show. My thanks go out to my guests tonight, David Roberts of Grist.org and L.A. County Registrar of Voters, Dean Logan.
If you believed in me.
Also, my thanks to Tony Sorrentino here at L.A.'s K-Talk AM 1150, engineering for us tonight, choosing some of the finest music you'll hear on the radio. Producer Desi Doyen and screener of the calls and monitor of the Bradblog.com chat room. Thank you, Desi, for triple duty and your on-air personality there tonight handling the wingnuts. Also, Jeannie Dean at the Bradblog.com thank you, chat room. My thanks to you. And, of course, my always greatest thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for entrusting me with this microphone. Silly them. If you're listening on the Mike Malloy on via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned tonight for Head On with Bob Kincaid, as always. All right, let me get to a couple more calls, and please, please make your comments fast so we can get in as many as we can. Nora in Minneapolis. What's
hey
up, Nora?
Brad, called to let you know our Senator Al Franken has been in for 1 year as senator today.
Oh, is that right?
And not only that, if you thought the election was over, Hubbard Broadcasting is telling us that they do not believe it is, and they have a suit against Ramsey County. I don't know if you remember, they recounted the votes by hand for 8 months, but there was a bunch of, what do you call it, rejected absentee ballots.
Yeah.
And they are suing to have the rejected absentee ballots that are hundreds in Ramsey County. And since then, luckily, our Secretary of State has done a lot to speed up and fix. It was a great way to find out how our inefficiency or not good. And now they're going to have, like, in one place where they do all the absentee ballots, and they do count them ahead of time rather than wait and vote them.
So, Mark Ritchie, your Secretary of State, who I agree does a very good job. So there may be something coming out of Ramsey County where
September we'll hear the ruling. And one last thing.
Go.
Michelle Bachmann's opponent has gotten up to $2 million. Her name is State Senator Terrell Clark. Terrell Clark for Congress. Unfortunately, Michelle Bachmann has twice as much, $4 million. I just heard it on the news tonight.
Thank you for using your airwaves.
Give money to Terrell Clark against Michelle Bachmann.
Thanks, Nora. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Brad. Good night.
Good night. Julian. Julian in Wilmington, California. Very quickly, Julian, what's up?
Okay, I'm about as progressive liberal as they basically get.
Uh-oh, that means you're probably not, but go ahead.
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
And the thing is, this is that I do not support this cap-and-trade legislation, because even though it has a lot of great things in it, that is a small part of the bill.
Yeah.
Electric cars, wind turbines, geothermal, all of that.
Yeah.
The big money is being done to subsidize nuclear power.
Yeah.
Okay, because nuclear companies can't get any type of insurance, so the government has to guarantee these plants. A lot of times they go bad, so we're on the hook for that. The other thing is the it subsidizes heavily, quote unquote, clean coal, which is an oxymoron.
I hear you. There's a lot of problems. A lot of problems in that bill.
And the third thing is.
Yeah.
Is these government credit debits for carbon.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to trade them? Oh, yes, of course, Wall Street.
Yeah,
and
well,
I think,
you got to stop. Julian, I got to go. I hear you, though. I do hear you, and I appreciate that. But you know what? We got to start somewhere. Seriously. Chris in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Chris.
How you doing?
Oh, this is Chris. Oh, Chris Teleska,
Chris.
From Verified Vote.
Me.
Oh, Chris, I'm running out. I'm doing fine, but not
going
to give you enough time that you need, unless you can say it in 15 seconds. Sorry, man.
I just wanted to say that, you know, a lot of the things you've been talking about, you know, with the DREs on the paper trail. We have a paper trail on our Ivotronics here in North Carolina.
Right.
And the industry says it's been about a 1.5% to 2% failure rate.
Yep.
Real world experience in some of our counties is as high as 9%.
Yeah, and listen, nobody counts them. You can game them. A touchscreen machine with or without a paper trail means nothing. Let me give your website. That's ncvoter.net, right, Chris?
That's Joyce's website.
What's yours?
Well, it's just Google No IRVNC. That's my blog.
No IRVNC. Thank you, brother. Appreciate all you do.
Well,
sorry I had to have more time. Never enough time. Well, we'll be back with more time tomorrow here on the Mike Malloy program. Two more nights in for Mike Malloy. Don't be sad. Thank you for joining me, America. Until tomorrow, we'll see you at bradblog.com. Keep it lit.